And welcome back, everyone, to the JD Studio Show. I am your host, Josh Dayton, and after a week hiatus, we are back. We have the killer, Kate Savage.
Hello.
We have the kind-hearted Catherine Marlatt.
Oh, you're too sweet.
We have the impeccable Isaac Meyer.
Yeah, impeccable.
We have the cool-tastic Chris Collars.
Hi.
And for the first time on the show, we have Philip Coffinger with us today.
Hi.
So, Philip, why don't you go ahead and do your introduction?
Oh, yeah, sure. My name is Philip, as it says. My zodiac sign is Pisces. Wait, is that a pie I see? Oh, no. Yeah.
Yay, round of applause. Yay. jokes.
Thank you. I've been a fan of Josh and the gang for quite a while, so really happy to finally be on the podcast here. Had some technical difficulties keeping me away, but I've got them all cleared out, so here I am.
Yeah, and we are so glad to have you. It is good to be back. We took a week off because we had some things to do, and we will get into that more later because I think it was worth it. But first, yeah. We're going to do the weekly update on our lives. Mr. Meyer, will you start us out?
All right. Let's see. On Saturday and Sunday, I was in a dance recital, even though I'm not a dancer. So that was interesting. Yeah. A friend from church asked me to participate in a guy-girl dance, and so I said yeah, and that was fun.
It sounds like it was an interesting time.
It was.
What about you, Chris?
Well, it's funny you ask, because I've been doing a lot of, nothing.
Well, sometimes nothing can be a good thing.
Is this good nothing, Chris?
I think so.
Oh, that was creepy.
All right.
Need that.
What about you, Kate?
I have finished all but one of my finals, and then I have two more days of school, and then I'm out.
That is wonderful. What about you, Philip?
Well, I don't really know if it's a weekly update if it's the first one, but I recently started my online summer course of my most favorite subject ever, economics.
Shout out to Philip Coffinger, who won the Econ Award our senior year.
And Mr. Gilman.
I hate economics with a burning passion.
And what about you, Catherine?
Well, just like Kate, I had all my finals. I didn't have too many, actually, but I got through them and had a very mediocre sociology presentation, and now I'm here.
It's good that things are starting to ramp up, because then we can do some other things. My week, I finished my stats class for May. My next online class starts on Tuesday, which is great. It is an English course. So that will be interesting.
What class is it?
It is an English research writing course, and it is online.
Ew. All classes that start with E are gross.
It's very specific criteria, but yeah.
That means Philip also hates environmental science.
And English. And
Philip's a communist.
Yeah.
All right, now we have some very exciting things to talk about today. We took our week hiatus because Philip was in town and Isaac was in town.
Yeah.
And we got to do some major studio work. And one of the things that we did by the time this releases, hopefully we'll have seen it, The Incredible Tale of Fred Slaughterhouse, which is currently up on our YouTube channel. If you have not seen it yet, I suggest you stop this, go watch it, and come back. We are going to talk a lot about it. First of all, so this script was written by a computer, which my intro at the beginning explains, and we've talked about a little bit before. But in general, it was just crazy. Philip, do you want to talk a little bit about just how that production went?
Yeah, of course I do. it was a lot of fun. Like Josh said, we had a computer write the script, so a lot of errors and oddity, and the fact that we still got it to come together in the amount of time that we did was kind of crazy. But we had a lot of fun with it, and I hope it shows.
Although probably in the future we should like learn our lines beforehand.
That's not important.
I have to say there in the end there, I really didn't know if we were going to finish. That home stretch was a lot.
For those who weren't part of the process, none of the actors really learned their lines beforehand, which was okay for like Faith and me, because we didn't have like large swaths of just lines. But
neither did I. It was literally just Philip.
Yeah,
the largest line.
It was the biggest problem with Philip, who particularly like the end scenes, he had like
cats.
Large paragraphs of lines, and we've been filming all day, so it was kind of rough trying to like learn those lines and immediately apply them.
Yeah, it was pretty much just me memorizing like everything, and it failed. But it was. I mean, eventually I got it, but like it was also hard because like. Like I said, the grammar was really bad. I remember explicitly there's this one time it was like, you had to see my scare a alien to death. And that's just not how it should be. That was hard.
Well, and I don't think we have one solid take where we did that, any of the end scenes all the way through.
No. That ending made me laugh so hard.
Yes, but on the bright side, I have a fantastic blooper reel. Coming out soon.
I'm excited.
Yeah. How soon? Because I want to see it.
Very soon.
Like in an hour soon?
No, I mean we're gonna like have just ended this call in an hour, so probably not.
It could be uploading right now for all we know.
I suppose
you will just have to wait and see. Dun dun dun.
I think that means you're onto him, Chris. You were right. He's uploading right now.
There's one scene I'm waiting for.
Oh, yes. It will be. Kate, yes, is thinking of a certain scene that I can't wait to show.
What scene?
I'm not going to say it because that will spoil it, but there was a very hilarious line flub that I cannot wait to show. And it will be.
Okay.
It'll be good.
All right. Oh, my.
Yeah.
What I want to do now is go over favorite moments. I'm going to have Catherine go first because I know her favorite moment and I love it. So how about you start?
I think I wasn't even there for this, but what has to be my favorite moment in the actual film is seeing Isaac try to fake trip and then actually falling.
Yeah, that was pretty solid.
Over a water bottle. Like, it's so easy to clear and you just...
Well, see, I wanted to make it look like I tripped, and I did it really well by method acting. Yeah, let's go with that. Method acting.
That's fair. That's fair.
It's easy to look like you tripped if you, trip. Yeah.
That is a very good point. Isaac, how about you go next?
Let's see. I'd probably go with, me and Philip's first scene together. Because as we were filming that, he seemed to forget that my name wasn't Fred. So we'd have so many takes where we'd just go through and he'd be like, oh man, I said Fred, didn't I? Sometimes I'd run in and be like, Fred, and he's like, what is it, Fred? And he'd sit right back down and I'd spin and go out. It was great.
Yeah, I believe last time I counted, I think I have at least 4 takes. Where Phillips just starts off the scene by saying Fred.
Yes. I'm looking forward to those hopefully spliced together in rapid succession.
How about you, Kate?
Does it have to be, like, in the actual thing, or can it be, like, just the process?
It can be whatever.
Okay. My favorite thing is Philip messed up one of his lines, and it was so amusing that I had to physically leave the room so I didn't laugh during the recording.
I will be sure to mark that clip in the blooper reel of which one you're talking about, because I don't want to spoil it here because of how hilarious that was.
But... yeah. Now, if I'm thinking of it correctly, then yeah, that changed the line a bit.
Oof. I don't remember
that plot.
I don't remember this at all. What the heck?
Neither do I.
Since you don't remember it, Philip, you can go next.
Okay, well, at least actual, like... No, I guess they might be the same. I really enjoyed the scene between me and Isaac in the first house there when he comes in. And, you know, what we had previously discussed tonight, I kept loving Fred. But my favorite thing was about halfway through that scene, like the camera shifts and I'm just like, Bloom and the heck, Reginald, we got to do something. Because we did that so many times. It was so funny. We were trying to make it as dramatic as possible. We're just dying. It was so funny.
And you screamed so much during that, Philip. What happened because of that?
Oh, yes. Thank you. There was so much loud, like, screaming, like you said, and exaggerated movements that I had got a splitting headache. And it was so bad. Between takes, I just had to sit down and just, like, not so bad.
But seeing the finished product, would you say it was worth the splitting headache or nah?
Oh, most definite.
And what about you, Chris?
What was my favorite part?
Yes.
I don't know. I was pleasantly surprised because I was only there to film for like half of those things. And I had no idea what the other stuff was going to look like. So I was pleasantly surprised by the whole running scene, or I call it the transition scene from when Fred and Isaac's character are first get together and then them running through the neighborhood to the other house. I especially the water bottle part, that did make me laugh because I watched it with my girlfriend and she was, and as soon as Isaac tripped, she's like, that was funny. I was like, I know.
Wow. Something you did was actually funny.
Comedy? Question mark?
Exactly.
Yeah, we hadn't even seen, like, the beginning sequence with just Philip and Faith. Because Josh put like, me, Kate, and Chris into our own small room so that we weren't, like, distracting or anything.
Yeah.
I would like to point out, we walked in there at least 3 times to tell them to quiet down. I was quiet. I was not talking. It was Isaac and Chris.
Oh, no, it was probably mostly me because I kept on just like making a stupid Darth Clifford voice because I had no idea what it was going to be. So I just kept on.
You also blared the safety dance on your phone, and that didn't, they didn't seem to hear that.
They didn't hear that, but
yet
us making horse noises and
yeah, one time I made a horse noise and Josh just kind of opens the door and is like, is somebody whinnying in here? There was a somewhat logical progression to that. It wasn't out of nowhere, but then again, you kind of had to be there.
Yeah, we were trapped in our room. We were really bored.
Yeah, that's actually, he makes a good point that really, other than Catherine and myself, who were during the editing process, really, the finished product was a surprise to everyone else. And overall, while there are plenty of moments through that I love, especially Chris hiding behind the curtain, the finished product itself just made me very happy.
I also forgot, like, while I was hiding behind the curtain, I forgot it itched my nose because, like, it was just super itchy. And so I used my candle hand. As soon as he said candle, I moved the candle to itch my nose. I was like, that's almost perfect.
It was a wonderful sequence in terms of timing. Another interesting thing is that, based off what we've done before, this is the most locations we've ever used, which seems silly because there's only a handful, but we really did. We caravaned in a couple vehicles from place to place, and that was very interesting. I really liked the fact that, in general, this was just a more professional kind of setup. I want to talk about, in terms of locations, the park scene.
I was about to bring that up because, like I say, I really dug Phillip's. That's probably my favorite part that Phillip did was the park.
So Phillip stepped in the mud without his glasses on.
Oh, it was so deep. It was at least like 3 inches deep. Well, and I just like.
It had just been raining like less than an hour before. And then we just went and filmed it anyway.
Because we're stupid. Yay.
At one point, Kate, Isaac, and I were playing on the giant playset in the background, and I grabbed a sleeping bag from Josh's back seat and decided that I would go down the only slide with a puddle at the bottom, unbeknownst to me. And it was a mess.
The entire time, Catherine and I, during filming, because Josh wanted us in the background, we're just on this like tire thing, just screaming, because
which made me so nervous.
One of you were cackling like really loud too.
Definitely
probably
me.
Catherine.
Let me cackle in peace.
And then Chris's jelly babies. Do you want to explain what those were?
You want me to explain them?
It's your call. If not, I will do it. But either way, it is very interesting.
Okay, well, so the jelly babies were just a headband. And I thought there was someone, like Catherine's or Kate's, that was just on a table. But it turns out we had no idea who they were, so.
Yeah. To clarify, Chris picked up a random scrunchie from a table at a park. And used it.
Well, we didn't have any jelly babies, so I had to,
What's a jelly baby?
I mean,
improvise.
I mean, you didn't necessarily have to like stick your hand out and be like, "Would you like some?" You could have just.
I think
asking.
It worked better that way.
That's true. It does work better.
You could
but...
use like mulch.
Mulch.
No.
You could just picked up a nice slab of mud.
And then Phillip's hair. We have to talk about Phillip's hair.
Oh boy,
Philip, talk about your hair.
I don't really know if I should be the one to talk about my hair. Seems how
it's long and beautiful. That's all you have to say.
I couldn't really see it because one, it's my hair, and two, my glasses were off. So.
Here, I'll talk about it because I don't know anything about it because I wasn't paying attention at that point.
Perfect. That'll work.
But Phil, first off, Philip's hair is like his most prized possession, and. Was it Faith, Catherine, or Kate that decided to do something with it?
I think it was Faith.
Faith
was
decided, Faith? And then I had a scrunchie, and Faith had a scrunchie.
Yeah, so they decided, since this was in the past, Philip needed a different hairdo. So they decided to give him, I believe, pigtails.
Yeah.
He really took one for the team.
And at one point, Josh has a comb. That pulls like the top pulls off into a knife, and Philip was like, "Does anyone have like a comb?" And I gave it to him, him not knowing that there was a knife inside it, and he used it, and it was so funny to me.
Oh no, I used a comb.
I just
quick interruption. I just did a quick check, and I want to congratulate everybody on the team because. I just looked up, and the Incredible Tale of Fred Slaughterhouse is on an all-time high right now. It's got 10 likes and 111 views, and it hasn't even been a day with this thing being
woo-hoo!
On. So congrats to everyone.
Yes, it is our most liked video, which is very nice, and we've gained some subscribers through this video.
Yeah, you gained more subscribers than the only other JD Studios on YouTube.
And that's me, right? That's still me. No. The other JD Studios is like this weird one. I can't describe it, but it's got all these weird computer videos, and they've got 45 subscribers. And our JD Studios now has 52 subscribers.
Yes, that's correct.
So it's safe to say we're gonna take over YouTube. So
yep.
Careful, everyone.
Watch out, both PewDiePie and T-Series. Here we come.
Logan Paul.
Yeah.
We'll taste three rats.
Be careful, he'll call you a cyber bully.
Oh, no.
That was Jake Paul.
Yeah, but still. I'm the same.
I'm going to make a rap song now.
I want to be Ro-Ro. Another good thing about the whole production. That's a good point. I'll have to remember that one for the future. Keep that in mind. Another very interesting thing that we tried to do and did our absolute best was live animals.
Were any of us there for that except for you and Kat?
Yes, I did it while you were working lines. First thing I want to point out.
So we were all there.
First thing I want to point out is that a second one of Catherine's cats is in the credits because Bella is in two of the scenes.
She is.
She was not meant to be, but she was there because we were in her house and she does whatever she wants always. So
we love Bella. She gets any right.
We do. We love Bella. And then Mortimer, yes, I was going to actually bring him on, but he is currently in timeout for his poor behavior earlier today. He has a tendency to fight the other cats in the house, and now he is in timeout, so he is not available today. But the live animal component is something that I think I'm content to never try again.
Yeah. I mean, we always have my dog.
That's true. Your dog is very friendly.
Or one of us could always buy a furry suit or something.
No.
I like that.
Thank you, Isaac. And Phillip.
Why did you even phrase it like that? Why couldn't you say it like an animal costume or something? I had to say furry suit.
Because they're not the same, man. If we're going to use a cat, I'm dressing up as Garfield, all right?
Chris is a furry, confirmed.
Yeah, pretty much.
Look, I don't care who you are. That's hot.
Okay, let's move on.
Yes.
Let's not humor him anymore. Can we vote someone off the podcast?
Sorry, Philip, you gotta go.
Chris, you are the weakest link.
Pack up your knives and go.
The tribe has spoken.
You've been shocked.
Not my first time.
My problem is that I'm too good at segues. So speaking of furry creatures,
You're welcome. You are welcome.
We have some Sonic news for everybody. Chris pointed out to me earlier. That we've kind of been talking a lot about Sonic, and he asked if we are just going to become a Sonic the Movie podcast. And I'm going to make a promise right now that when we record the podcast the weekend Sonic comes out, it will be 100% Sonic content.
Yeah.
Can I come with you to go see it?
Yes, but we can't go see it when we plan because the director tweeted today that they are delaying release of the film. The tweet here from Jeff Fowler at Fowltown says, taking a little more time to make Sonic just right. # no VFX artists were harmed in the making of this movie. And it is coming out February 14th, 2020. The most romantic film I could think of. So basically, because of the backlash from everyone on the internet about the trailer, and I'd like to say that our backlash was the fuel to that fire.
Feels so bad for the artist, though.
Yeah,
see, because prove us wrong.
To fix Sonic and make him look good enough to feel like they can release it, they are spending an extra several months to fix this process. Now, the VFX artist hashtag really bothers me because there's no way that's true. I'm sure in the past 3 weeks they have worked so much overtime and will continue to work overtime to...
With little pay.
Exactly. And they're going to have to at least spend another half of their original budget added on to fix it at least.
So they better hope this hedgehog makes a boatload of coins.
They have a lot to play with because of Detective Pikachu.
Yeah, that's true. And a lot of people on the internet have theorized about a Smash Bros. Cinematic universe.
That'd be awesome.
Which I don't think will happen, but if it did, I would probably watch it. But if
I think I theorized this the last time we talked about the Sonic thing, though. I think I theorized that.
That's true, you did bring that up.
But this general, is the internet.
If they are going to try that universe, and Pikachu and Sonic are, like, the front runners of it, and one of those two fails, then we find ourselves in a universal dark universe situation.
No. We find ourselves in an MCU because Iron Man came out. It did very well. Then the Hulk came out a month later. Nobody went and saw it.
Well, and that is...
The Hulk's bad, though.
Oof.
Hey.
Now, that is very cool and an interesting perspective. But it's also, like... The fact that that universe took off because of that is insane that they worked that out. So it is possible, but not probable, that if they sink half a billion dollars into this movie and then it doesn't make any money, that they just don't quit.
Nah, I think they're going for, like, the anti-Marvel universe, where, like, Marvel Universe is a bunch of quality movies that, like, a bunch of time and stuff has been spent into it. They're going to go for, like, a bunch of B-list movies and whatnot and have, like, really poor quality on purpose just so that they can...
Incredible Bulk.
Yeah.
You know, that is a very interesting perspective. But I've seen a lot of things on Instagram and Twitter where people have laid out potential... four phases for this universe.
Well, I mean, yeah, because there's actually a surprising amount of, like, Smash Brothers, like, Thanos level, like, villains. There's, like, the different hands. There's Crazy Hand and Master Hand, and then they got the new ones that they just introduced, like the Gardon and Darkion or something like that. And, like, it probably wouldn't be as good as the Avengers, but it still works.
Now, Philip, I want your perspective here, because not only are you not a huge movie person all the time, but you are a huge Nintendo person. What would be your thoughts if they tried to make a Smash Bros. Cinematic universe?
Okay, so when it's not happening anytime soon. Let's just clear the air here. Because if this does happen, we have to remember that it would be focused on Nintendo characters, not Sega characters, i.e. Sonic. So the fact that we're having a Sonic movie wouldn't play into that at all. And also the fact that we have a Detective Pikachu, I don't think that would be the character that they'd want for that. So really, we have to look for the 2020
I do want to add the Mario movie.
Yeah. So that would be, like, the first one that I could see. And I really don't see any time in the next 10 years being a thing. In the middle.
Also, I think... Oops, sorry.
No, that was it. I don't think it's going to happen.
I was also going to say, I think, like the movie rights to each of these characters might be owned by different studios as well.
Yeah.
So that would make it even harder, because for anyone that doesn't know, the reason why we have never seen the X-Men or Fantastic Four in the MCU, or why we didn't see Spider-Man until Phase 3 of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, was because... they're owned by different companies, and it takes a lot of paperwork and time and resources to get just one character to, you know, be a part of, you know, another company's, you know, franchise.
Well,
yeah, and so if, like, these are owned by, like, completely different companies, it would take so long and so much compromising, and it would be very hectic and probably a lot of money loss.
Well, I think it'll be less like the MCU and more like the DCEU, where they're going to test the waters, having two big characters, namely Sonic and Mario, and pitting them against each other like at the Olympic Games. And then if that does well, then they'll move on to the rest of the Smash Bros. Cinematic universe.
Here's the thing, Isaac. I think you're looking... Batman and Superman are not the major characters of DC now. It now belongs to Aquaman and Shazam. Ooh. And I still feel like I'm the only one who's seen Shazam, so I suggest everyone go see that movie now because it is such a delight.
I did miss Shazam, didn't I? I forgot about that.
Well, if I can butt in, you have to think about, because just the amount of money just for the CGI of like one like Sonic character, you have to think about all that money for like just the CGI for the Marvel, the Nintendo, like Mario stuff.
Well, I mean, I'm sure they could definitely do it. It just depends on the money that these movies make. So if like they make the returns and then some, then we would no doubt see like them throwing money at all the special effects they can do for. I just don't understand why they don't make these movies like just more animated. It'd be so much more like
The Mario like movie is fully animated.
Right, yeah, I don't know why they don't make I did understand Detective Pikachu not being really animated. That's a cool concept, but Sonic, I feel, just be so more entertaining. We've only had the one trailer, but I feel like it'd be so much more entertaining if it was just all, you know, CGI or whatever. Not CGI, no. All animated.
I have up here a picture from an account on Instagram I follow at Smash Ultimate. Of their theoretical layout of the phase one of the Smash Bros. Universe that I'd like to share. So we have Detective Pikachu and Sonic the Hedgehog.
No, it can't be.
Philip, I'm aware. This is theoretical.
No, Detective Pikachu. Pikachu. Pokemon isn't 100% owned by Nintendo. It's owned by Game Freak.
Yes, we've been over the rights. I'm just sharing the theoretical timeline that has been made. One of them, because I've seen many. Then they have The Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword in 2020, as well as Super Mario Bros.
You got Philip's money. You got Philip's money.
Then in 2021, they have Sonic the Dark Brotherhood and Metroid. In 2021, they have Kirby and Mario Party. And then in 2022, they have Super Smash Bros.
Chance time!
Wait, I can imagine a Kirby movie.
Now, I want to clarify, none of these have actually been announced, except for the first two that is either already out or will be out next year. This is all just theorized. However,
I can imagine a Kirby movie that's like Detective Pikachu. I feel like people would want to see that.
Well, I feel like that in general, Kirby has a pretty strong following as like an adorable character.
They got Ryan Reynolds to voice Pikachu, who would you get to voice Kirby? What's your dream casting to play?
Danny DeVito.
Yeah.
No, definitely. Danny DeVito would so be Mario.
Oh, he would. Or Waluigi.
My goodness, he's
already played Lorax.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson. He's the only one who can do Kirby right. Only one.
Maui is Kirby.
Maui's Kirby canon.
Nope, I changed my mind. I want Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart. He's literally embodied.
I say Jack Black for Kirby.
Ooh. We just listed off the Jumanji cast.
Terry Gilliam.
Let's just remake Jumanji. Give them Smash Bros. Clothes.
They're making another Jumanji. They're making a fourth Jumanji. They're done filming it.
Real quick, I want to throw out there that in the Smash Bros. Verse, if it came to be, Solid Snake is played by Liam Neeson. Discussion over.
Oh, he's too old, though. Yeah. He's a great guy, great actor, but he's like, if you want someone for 10 years,
maybe Liam Neeson will never die.
I feel like to have Hugh Jackman, they would need to make it a musical. That's the only way he'd agree. He was kind of done with the whole Wolverine thing, so probably wouldn't agree to a new thing.
With nowadays, I feel like Zac Efron would also be like a running player.
Nah, I couldn't see him as Solid Snake. I would definitely have him as. I could see him as Link, honestly.
Yeah, I think he's a little too old.
Philip, who is your dream Link casting?
Yeah, he's Link guy.
My dream who casting?
If Link was going to be in a live action universe, who's your cast?
And it can't be you.
I'm gonna surprise you here. I actually would say someone we haven't seen before. I want a like not a pre-existing like image to the person. Like I want a fresh face that I can look at for the next 10 movies that Link is in.
I suppose.
So Danny DeVito.
All right. Danny DeVito. Yeah.
Danny DeVito, please.
What if Danny DeVito just plays all the Super Smash Brothers characters?
There we go.
Now we're talking.
I want a movie where it's just Danny DeVito doing a bunch of impersonations.
Who would be
impressions?
I mean, he's done so many things. There probably is one.
Have they cast the Mario movie yet? Like, do they have a cast for it, or they're still like?
I believe it's the video game cast, but I'm not positive.
Oh, that'd be insane.
Are they actually coming out with a Mario movie?
Yes, Illumination Studios, who I have a major vendetta against, is making a Mario movie.
Hmm. See, that's what I'm saying. Like, Illumination. So, like, that's weird because, like, we already have three different companies that are making these three different films already. So we have Illuminations, who made Minions, that's making the Mario movie, and then I don't know which film. I think Warner Brothers might have done the Detective Pikachu.
Paramount is Sonic.
Which. And then Paramount's doing Sonic. So that's three very large corporations. Illumination, not that large. But
I think it's safe to say that if this is going to happen, it will not happen for a long time.
Okay.
However, let's just right now, if this is going to happen at some point in some scenario, are you on board? Yes or no? Catherine, you start.
I would have to say no. I feel like it would be a terrible choice. And as Philip said, I think they're starting off with weird characters that aren't main characters. So I don't think it would be something I'd enjoy.
Can I go next?
Yes, you can.
I'd have to say yes, because I think it's a terrible idea. And because they're starting off with weird characters that aren't really the main characters. And I would love to see that.
You know what, Isaac?
It would just be so amusing.
You know what?
I don't think it'll be good, but I will be amused, and that's all that matters in life.
All right, let's go with Philip next.
Okay, so I'm with Catherine here. No, I like you said before, I'm a huge Nintendo fan, and there's something just magical about, popping in that new disc or cartridge or whatever, and seeing your favorite character just appear in front of your eyes, and having this whole adventure to go on together, and to be able to lose that. Unless they make a Xenoblade movie, then I will die happy. But
of course,
no, it'll be awful.
What about you, Kate?
I feel like I have this gut feeling that it'll be like Pixels.
No.
I kind of enjoyed Pixels, but I'm not well, like, educated in video games, and, like, I don't know. I kind of just really like Adam Sandler in it.
Okay, we will have to.
Kate's answer is she likes Adam Sandler.
I wouldn't watch it.
How about you, Chris?
I guess I'm going to be the devil's advocate. It's weird because, like, you think they would start off with, if they were actually going to do this, which I don't think they would, because Kat said if they were going to do this, it'd probably start off with their strongest characters like Mario and Link, that being like Iron Man and Captain America. But instead, if they were starting this right now, it seems like they're starting with Thor and Ant-Man, which is weird. But I would watch it. I mean, like, I learned that, like, any movie can be just super good, regardless of the concept, like, or what a cash grab it could be. Because I remember when, like, I saw, like, the trailer for the Lego movie, I thought it was like the stupidest thing ever, because even like speaking of it, like you're making an entire 2-hour movie based on bricks. But it turns out the movie was really good and really made me cry. So I learned not to hold movies to their concepts. And so I would probably be down for a Super Smash
Bros. Yeah, Philip, we don't need your opinion on the Lego movie right now. We can save that for another day.
I already know it. I don't want to hear it again.
Okay, in general, my thoughts are I would watch it whether it is good or not, just because. But I think that if they were going to try something like that, doing some sort of animated Netflix thing would be smarter. But in general, if they did something that revolved around the characters, I would probably watch it.
So, in conclusion, me, Josh, and Chris are going to have a watch party when it comes out.
I mean, okay, I would watch it if, like, something happened, like, with the Sonic movie where the animators are working overtime. Just so I can support the animators.
That's fair.
Yeah. I'd watch it too. I would just probably hate every moment of it.
I also I was going to say, because I don't know if I got my thoughts in on the whole Sonic thing being delayed, but I think like one of the primary reasons that it's delayed is not just because they're working on the redesign. I feel like they could work on the redesign and get it out by November, no problem. I also think they're like reworking a lot of the movie because they're like, they got themselves a really good excuse, and they probably got a lot of like goodwill by saying that they're working on the redesign for the fans. So now they're probably like reshooting like more like half the movie, just so it might be good and they don't lose a bunch of money.
That is a very big possibility. I want to move on now from the long discussion that spurred from the Sonic trailer.
Yeah,
I want to touch on what's in the works, and that I am very excited about. By the end of June, for those of you who listen, there will be at least a minimum of 4 new videos to the channel.
Whoa.
What are those videos? Well, Chris Colors and I, as well as Captain Marlatt, have started a film review series.
Ow!
And it is going to be very good, I think. We have a pretty good slate lined up, and I'm excited to go into that. Also, now that we are approaching the end of school and schedules, True Intentions will start filming in June.
Now that means I have to learn my lines.
That is very true. But I am overall excited. We have a lot of good things coming, as well as a couple other interesting ideas that we aren't going to share yet. But
I have questions, though.
What are your questions? What's your guess?
Oh, I can ask them now. One, did we already say what the name of the review series is
going to
be?
Nope, and we're not going to.
Oh, all right.
Denied.
No, because that will take away a little bit of the intro I have planned, so we will not give away the name just yet.
Okay.
You have another question.
I was just going to ask, is True Intentions the like last like production of that we're making for the year?
No, it is not. Okay. What are the others?
All right.
That is up for debate still. We have some options, but True Intentions is the big hurdle to jump.
All right.
Which I'm excited for.
Fun?
What?
If we did like a Christmas special with a bunch of like random characters from throughout our videos.
I think that's a great idea, and I'm on.
That is a very.
Yeah, I could do. Like, I could do the one character I've done.
In it, we could have people in it.
Well, see, that's an interesting idea off a discussion I had with Catherine earlier today based on some of the things with our video's continuity. So I'm on board for that idea. We will discuss it later because I have a lot to say, but we will not go too in-depth into that right now.
Wait, we could have Philip's character who doesn't know what to write be in it. He'd be really cool.
Essay guy number 2.
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah, I'd like to thank you all for supporting me in my role of essay guy number 2.
You deserve the Academy Award.
overall, I am really excited for what we have going on. And once again, I want to just say thank you, not only to those of you who are on here today, but to all of our JD Studios crew and staff, to you, the listener, the viewer, and the supporter. We couldn't do anything we do without you guys. I'm so proud of my team and everything that we have accomplished and will continue to accomplish this year. But even more than that, those of you who listen and support us and help us get those views, I just can't thank you enough. On that note, I think this is where we will wrap up this week. Next week on the podcast, we will once again be doing fan questions. So don't forget to get on either of our social medias at JDStudios208 on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to give us questions. You can private message them to us. You can comment them on the videos. You can do whatever you want, but I will find them, and we will go over fan questions and comments next week. Once again, thank you all for listening. Our social media is at JDStudios208. If you haven't yet, be sure to check out The Incredible Tale of Fred Slaughterhouse, and we will see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Little.